Hello and welcome to the Guelph Politicast. I'm Adam A. Donaldson of Guelph Politico. If this is your first time streaming or downloading the program, Guelph Politicast is an interview show where I talk to politicians, activists, and people of note making a difference or just trying to make life in the Royal City more interesting. For previous episodes of the Guelph Politicast, you can find them on the Guelph Politicast channel on Podbean, or you can subscribe through iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. Today I talk to Chris Hughes, who's the manager of contract services for the City of Owen Sound, and Michelle German of Evergreen Canada, a nonprofit organization that helps to work towards greener and more sustainable cities. In order to talk about a problem that's bigger than Guelph, we needed to reach outside of Guelph, because this week we're talking about regional transit. With so much focus on the 401 corridor and moving people by rail through the GTA, we're missing a bigger piece of the provincial transit puzzle. Moving people between cities and towns besides Toronto and its surrounding boroughs. Going places is the topic of this week's Guelph Politicast. If you didn't have a car, how would you get to Hamilton? Or the Niagara region? Heck, how would you even get to Cambridge, and it's only 20 minutes down Wellington Road? Without a car, though, you'll have to wait several hours for a bus to Kitchener and transfer to Grand River Transit once you're there. It would be an hour's total travel time, again, if you're lucky, just to get somewhere just 20 minutes away by car. Here's the thing, though. When it comes to intercity transit, we here in Guelph are some of the lucky ones. Just ask people in the city of Owen Sound, a community less than 2 hours away, but where there is only a singular bus that goes to Barrie and Toronto every day. The city is trying to do something about that by applying to a grant through the government of Ontario to fund a daily bus to and from Guelph for a 5-year trial. Guelph, again, less than 2 hours away from Owen Sound, is an ideal gateway for the residents of that community to then access transit to places around here like Kitchener and London. But that's just one community's option, and one that will have to jump through hoops in order to achieve it. It's not a sure thing that the city of Owen Sound will get this grant, and it's not a sure thing that they'll have the resources to keep it going after that 5-year trial. So whose responsibility is it to fund regional transit? Why are there so many gaps in the system? How have we let private transit services like Greyhound roll back service without public services like Metrolinx trying to compensate? Where have all the levels of government been, apparently so concerned with keeping people moving, on this growing problem? These are some of the questions we'll hope to answer, at least shed some light on in any event, on this week's Guelph Politicast. So to cover this issue, we will first hear from Chris Hughes from the city of Owen Sound about their initial rectification of their lack of regional transit. And then we will take a look at the broader issue and its intricacies with Michelle German, the Senior Manager of Policy and Partnerships at Evergreen Canada. I guess, first of all, could you lay out what the transit situation is in Owen Sound? Like, if I live in Owen Sound and I don't own a car, but I want to get to Guelph or even Toronto, or let's say, what are my options?
You can get to Toronto by taking a Greyhound bus to Barrie and then down the 400. Unfortunately, that's the only Greyhound bus in and out of Owen Sound. So you can, if you want to go to Southern Ontario, to Guelph or Waterloo or London, you have to go by way of Barrie and Toronto, which is not very practical. There are a couple other buses running, but like there's a Grey Bruce Air bus that goes to the down to the Pearson Airport, that sort of thing, but no regular scheduled service.
You can correct me if I'm wrong, because I don't live in Owen Sound, so everything I get, I read on the internet, like most things, but this was not always the case. This has been kind of a trend that intercity transit to and from Owen Sound has been on the decline the last several years.
Yeah, I spoke to Greyhound, and they gave up the Owen Sound to Guelph run in about 2010, apparently.
Well, then, let's talk about this program that Owen Sound has applied to be part of, or to get money for, in order to get a bus going to Guelph. First of all, how did the idea come about, and why is Guelph an appealing out-of-city destination for people in Owen Sound?
The province has come up with a program they call the Community Transportation Grant Program. and they are essentially offering $1.5 million to municipalities to operate inter-community transit programs over 5 years. And between Owen Sound and London, and then another area over by Ottawa, are identified in their document as underserviced.
Mm-hmm.
So we kicked it around, and council was quite enthusiastic about applying for the grant. And essentially Guelph is the closest center south of Owen Sound that has is a transportation hub.
Mm.
The stop off there, the transit stop or station there has Via Rail, GO Trains, GO Bus, Greyhound connections, Guelph Transit connections. So it's just an ideal place to, if you want to go to anywhere else in southern Ontario, it's a good stopping point, and it's also the closest area to Owen Sound that has all that.
And the grant program, is there an opportunity there? I guess what I'm wondering is there multiple grants going out, or is it $1.5 million in total that the province is offering, no matter
how
many?
No, it's multiple millions. I don't have the number off the top of my head, but it's for each community project. Inter-community project is a maximum of $1.5 million over 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, we're competing with a number of other municipalities for these funds.
Mm-hmm. So it's possible that, I mean, I've read the articles in the Sun-Times, but you're all fairly confident of its success. But, I mean, it is possible that you might not get the money you're asking for.
Yeah, that's certainly possible, and that's the chance you take. I think because we're in the area identified by the MTO as underserviced, I think we have a pretty good chance of receiving that funding.
Mm-hmm. Speaking from your position as someone who's working in a city hall and somewhere that the MTO has said. You are not serviced enough by transit. I'm wondering what your thoughts are about whether the MTO and whether the province is doing enough, because the Owen Sound problem is by no means a unique one. Even somewhere in Guelph, it's tough to even get to Cambridge, which is 20 minutes away by car, let alone Owen Sound, which
I attended a meeting a few years ago on inter-community transit that was put on by MTO. They did a traveling meeting. They came to Owen Sound and they came to a number of other municipalities, I think all the way up north.
Mm-hmm.
And essentially they said at that meeting they understand they will probably have to subsidize routes that aren't paying their way so that the private sector is not willing to service because there's not enough money in it.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think this is their response to that. So now the province, instead of having to manage these contracts themselves, they can let us manage it on their behalf, which is, it's fine. We're part of the grant will cover part of our costs.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a, it's not a matching grant. It's not a, usually when the municipalities get a grant from the federal government and the province, there's a component for matching, so it's like one-third, 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 which is how we upgraded our sewage treatment plant, which finished last year. So but this one is actually, it's full funding. It's not looking for a municipal contribution necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
So we're contributing by donating space in our transit terminal and also by, taking on the role of manager for that contract.
Mm-hmm. So if successful, how would this work? From what I gather, it is going to be not a new thing that you're going to be buying buses for, but this will be a contracting out, well or not.
I think some municipalities are actually buying buses and running it themselves.
Mm-hmm.
We're not, we don't fool ourselves to think we know more than anybody else about long distance bus travel. So we're looking at contracting it out. And the first thing we're going to do is hire a transit consultant to essentially help us do the right thing. So to help draw up contract documents and to do a tender for hiring a bus company to do this.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the first step, and then we, if it all goes smoothly, we hope to have the bus running by the end of the year. But the ministry's goal essentially is that you have to have the bus up and running within the second year of the 5-year term.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to get 4 years of bus at the very least, and hopefully a little more than that.
What's this going to mean for your community? What's this going to mean for the people of Owen Sound? How's this going to make a difference in their lives?
Well, I already heard from somebody who's visually impaired, and he's quite keen because, he used to take the bus down to Guelph, and it's interconnected to everything. So that's been, for him, it's been certainly much more difficult to go there. And I basically think he hasn't bothered to go by way of Barrie and Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it'll certainly make it easier. There's people with kids who are going to university in Waterloo and in Guelph, and for them to come home, it's very difficult. You have to go get them or they have to find a ride. So it's this will open up another option, I think, for people just to get to and from Owen Sound.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we still have the bus once a day going from here to Barrie, but if you don't want to go that direction, it's not very helpful.
Yeah, I didn't ask. What will the frequency of this route be?
We're looking at a minimum of once a day,
mm-hmm.
To and from, and then 7 days a week.
Okay.
So if we can make it, if we find out the money is going to go far enough to offer twice daily during the week, then we would certainly look at doing that.
Mm-hmm. And my last question, as a Guelphite, and I want to come to Owen Sound for the day, can I take this bus?
Yeah, you'd have to. I think we're looking at probably leaving in the morning from Owen Sound and
mm-hmm.
returning in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd have to come and spend the night.
Oh, that doesn't sound so bad.
Yeah, especially during the summer. You come up for summer folk or the fish derby or what have you.
That sounds good. So, Michelle, before we get into the issue, would you mind just talking a bit about Evergreen and what Evergreen does and what you do there?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks so much, Adam, for having me on the show today. My name is Michelle German, and I manage our public policy work at Evergreen focused on housing and transportation. Now, for those of you who have been to Evergreen Brickworks before, it might seem, how did you get into the housing and transportation space? But Evergreen is a national nonprofit organization.
Mm-hmm.
We've been around for 26 years, and our mandate is really to focus on projects that help cities flourish. So our organization is interested in things from greening community spaces and children play spaces, public markets, and then everything into the public policy realm, because we think in order to have strong, resilient cities, you need really the right mix of places and spaces that serve different communities' needs.
What is the Brickworks? Because for people who may not be familiar with that, it's in the Don Valley. So talk a bit about the Brickworks, because it's an interesting...
Yeah, the Brickworks is a fascinating place. So it was a brick factory for many decades in the 20s, 30s, and 40s, and it actually created the bricks that built the majority of our downtown core, our historic downtown core.
Mm-hmm.
But once the brick factory kind of started to slow down and when eventually it went out of business, it became a very derelict space where basically there was just a whole series of buildings that had just been neglected for many years. So our CEO, Jeff Cape, in the early 2000s, had this crazy idea that we could redevelop the site into becoming a low-carbon campus. And 18 years later, that is what we're working on. So we have a series of buildings that are low-carbon. We have an entire area that used to be where the quarry was that's been renaturalized in partnership with the Toronto Region Conservation Authority. So it's an outdoor space. We also have a children's garden, a locavore restaurant, a garden market, and we're in the process of rebuilding the Kilns building, so the place where they actually fired up the bricks, into the Center for Future Cities, which is going to be a low-carbon conference center.
And importantly, people can visit and check it out for themselves.
Publicly accessible. So, you know, if you're looking for an easy way to check out the brickworks, I recommend our farmer's market on a Sunday afternoon.
Well, there you go. To segue to our topic of the day, regional transit, to kick off this podcast, I was talking to Chris Hughes, who is a manager in the city of Owen Sound. They are applying for grant money to run a bus back and forth from Owen Sound every day, because they're kind of trapped right now. I don't know if I want to use the word trapped, but I will. But they have a bus that goes from Owen Sound to Toronto, and if you're trying to get to London, that's, or, you know, Kitchener even, or Guelph even, that, I mean, that takes you way off course. So in your studies, how many places do you think are like Owen Sound in Ontario where, you know, maybe there's a bus that goes to Toronto, but in terms of being otherwise landlocked, you know, what does the landscape look like?
Yeah, I think that there are a lot of towns and cities and communities that are really struggling, who don't have the options of being able to travel from one place to another. I think it's fairly easy to be able to get to and from Toronto, but there is something lacking in our region, and that's inter-regional connectivity. Now, I do want to point out that, you know, while this is a huge challenge, we're also in the process of the largest investment in rapid transit in our region, in the Greater Golden Horseshoe, which doesn't include Owen Sound, but is building out almost 1,400 kilometers of rapid rail transit that will provide much better connectivity between spaces and places that isn't just to and from Toronto. So I would say right now we're in the middle of that build. We have about half of about 700 or so kilometers of that under construction or in the planning phase, but we're not there yet. So I would say that more people than not probably feel the same way Chris does, where they don't feel like they have any other option other than to drive by themselves often in a vehicle.
Evergreen helped develop this report, Move the GTHA, and it noted that, you know, there and this is a couple of years ago, so as you were saying, there are changes afoot, but that there's almost $30 billion in a capital funding gap.
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, we costed out, so maybe I'll go back a little bit. Evergreen coordinates a broad coalition of transportation champions, I would call them, from a variety of sectors. So from the health sector, from government, from business, from think tanks and environmental organizations, who have been working together for the last 6 years as this group called Move the GTHA. And the group has been very laser focused on how do we as civil society help ensure that we're building as much transportation infrastructure as possible. Because I think the reason, you know, people like Chris and Owen Sound are in such a hard position now with very few choices is that we took a big break from building any transportation infrastructure for decades. So we're really far behind. And the report that we put out called Are We There Yet? It was, I believe, almost two summers ago, just crunched the numbers about how much are we trying to build and how much have we funded so far. And we found that we're in the process, we're about halfway there in building our new infrastructure, but we're also only halfway there in funding it. So really what our group was saying is, in order to get to the finish line and ensure that we have really strong transportation infrastructure, we need to keep ensuring that the funding is going to be there.
Right. It's, you know, you said, you know, we're far behind, and, you know, that comes from years of inaction. I wonder, you know, for people on the ground who, you know, and this includes me, because I take public transit a lot too, is that I feel like we're so far behind. It's you question whether or not we're going to catch up, and I'm wondering if you've talked about, you know, the positives and the high speed rail and development towards that, and I know the Ontario government's looking towards, you know, 2025, 2030, which isn't that far away, but the reality is, you know, for people on the ground, you know, it's not happening now, and there's a bit of a dichotomy there that, you know, people aren't seeing the progress, and I guess because we're starting so far back.
Mm-hmm. You're absolutely right. I think that it's very hard to have confidence in something that you can't see, feel, and experience. So, you know, there are some communities who have actually gotten new rail transit. So looking at Kitchener, Waterloo, looking at the city of Ottawa, looking at the Here Ontario that's going along through Mississauga. I think there are some communities who have recently or are in the process of building new rapid transit infrastructure. And I think it's really important that we're getting the stories out about how it's going, what the benefits are, what some of the challenges are, because there are so many other communities, as you've pointed out, who aren't getting, who aren't seeing any progress. So I think the least we can do is start to at least share some of the stories beyond, because, you know, one thing that we've seen across the region is that change is hard, and especially when you don't have anything to compare it to. So if a community hasn't already had some kind of either a bus rapid transit or a light rail transit, then they might just be very worried about what it's going to do to their community.
Right.
Whereas if they have the opportunity to learn from, meet, or just experience how it's going in other communities, it might be one of many things that would be helpful to the conversation and to add hope that there is going to be a tangible piece. I think the other side of it too is a conversation about, you know, what is the urban fabric that we're supporting and building out, because it's not just, you know, rapid transit. That's not necessarily the obvious solution for every community.
Right.
It might be a matter of a variety of shared pathways that have good walking pathways, cycling pathways. It might be also a dedicated bus line. So there are things that we could probably start doing tomorrow. But I think the big challenge is again, people aren't used to. So communities aren't used to what these things are, and they might not know exactly what and how to ask for them.
Yeah, and the storytelling point of it, I think is kind of important, because where I live, our main TV station is in Kitchener-Waterloo, where they are building light rail, the ION, that goes right through town. And if you just everything you knew about rapid light rail transit came from watching the TV, it would feel like a money pit that from which there's no escape. And granted, these stories are important about like construction delays and cost overruns and Bombardier being late with the cars. But there's a big piece of it that's always missing that I've always focused on. And it's like, what is the end game? What does people traveling via light rail in KW going to look like? And how do we tell that story?
So I actually want to pick up on what you just said there. It feels like a money pit.
Yeah.
And I think it's important for people to understand that it is really expensive to build this infrastructure.
Yeah.
But that for many reasons, it really, you know, if it's the right context, it can be a very good investment in our future. So one thing that our group Move the GTHA has looked into is what would it cost our society if we didn't do this?
Mm.
And we found some really alarming things. We found that the time we lose in productivity from just sitting in traffic costs us about $8 billion per year just for the GTHA. So that's not even Ontario-wide. We also found that transportation costs, which is primarily from just people sitting idly in their cars, contributes to 30% of our greenhouse gas emissions. So the cost of inaction is actually putting us at a much disadvantage for the future.
Right.
So I think it's just an important context of why we're spending so much money on this and what we're working towards. And on the what we're working towards, I think the goal is modal shift, which what modal shift means is we have to get fewer and fewer people taking fewer trips by themselves in their cars.
Mm.
And that doesn't mean that everyone is going to be taking rapid transit, but it means that we should be carpooling. People should be more, you know, learn how to be more comfortable taking active transportation, so cycling and walking. And then whenever possible and wherever possible, that we should have rapid transit available.
Mm-hmm.
So people can plan reliable trips to and from where they need to go. And I think more and more it's becoming apparent that those trips need to be between municipalities, not just to and from Toronto.
You're speaking my language, Michelle. but the enigma I come across is, you know, how do we translate that into convincing people to try and leave their cars behind more? Because I feel like we are all in agreement about the benefits and the reasons why, but when it comes to asking for a show of hands of who's going to walk more or bike more or take the bus, there aren't many people willing to take the first step in terms of leaving their own car at home and being the, you know, the people to try and make the changeover.
Yeah, and I mean, I think it's a really complex issue that's going to take a complex solution.
Mm.
So I think for some people, there's probably a level of comfort. Not everybody's comfortable cycling. So I've seen a lot of really great programs out of organizations like TCAT, the Center for Active Transportation, for instance, which
right.
has done a lot of really great education. So for those who want to do it but might not be comfortable, I think it's around education and training. But then for everyone else who just likes the comfort of their car, I think we have to build our transit in a way that is also comfortable. But more importantly than comfort is reliability.
Mm-hmm.
The more reliable we can ensure the trips on transit are, I think the more likely people will take them. And part of that, I think, is probably marketing.
Mm.
Part of that is really working on younger populations, so building comfort. I've seen some interesting programs around the new bus rapid transit that's in York Region along Highway 7, where they're now organizing class trips to go and ride the bus on PA days. And I think programs like that might seem light and fluffy, but it actually is. If you have an experience and you are comfortable, you know, trying something out, then you're way more likely to consider it as an option.
Habit building.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up in a suburb, and I was definitely, until I moved to the city, way more comfortable in a car than on transit. And it was really only by the fact that it was cheaper and more convenient that I actually made the shift. So I think those are considerations as well.
Well, getting back to the bigger picture, I'm one of the things I'm curious about is how do we foster, you know, working in between cities. You know, there's a lot of discussion here in Guelph about teaming up with Grand River Transit and what would it take to get, you know, Guelph Transit to run a bus to Kitchener or Waterloo or Cambridge and then having GRT do the same just to sort of get some more, you know, modal transportation to make it a bit easier on people. In your researching, you know, what are the things that are kind of holding these kind of cooperations back? Is it just the money? And if so, you know, where do we get that money from and who's kind of responsible? Is it going to take like a multi-level government kind of thing?
Well, I actually think right now it's on individuals. It's on community members to ask for this because we're at a really unique time in history where our federal and provincial governments are making the biggest investments in infrastructure. So not just transportation infrastructure, but all infrastructure, social infrastructure, transportation infrastructure. So now is the time to ask for what we want and what we need. And I think more times than not, our politicians and the people making decisions on these projects are hearing a lot more negativity and criticism than they are positivity So I think there needs to be an actual change in conversation, moving away from this not in my backyard, I don't want change, and more to, okay, I understand that change is coming. Here is what I want to see. Here is what my community needs. And I think that that would put us in a much productive space so that, you know, looking into the future, we're actually going to get infrastructure that serves the needs of our diverse communities.
Mm-hmm. That's such a simple thing, trying to rephrase it in a way that's a positive, because I know in our own struggles here, the klaxon is resoundingly negative. Like, you know, why is this bus always late? Why is this bus always canceled? Why are you changing this route? And it seems like, you know, it's, part of it's on the onus of the riders too, to try and phrase things more positive, but it also forces, I think, the transit providers to be reactive instead of proactive.
Exactly. And I don't think it's just the riders. I would encourage anyone listening to this who is a driver to take 5 minutes and write to your representative and say, this is what would be great. You know, I would love if a bus took me from here to there. Not to say that they have a magic wand, but the more information our decision makers have about the kind of transport, you know, the kind of problems that
right.
you have, the better position they'll be able to find the solutions.
There could be somebody stuck in traffic somewhere that would be like, boy, I'd rather take a train, a bus, but that is not an option. And so what can I do?
Exactly, because then you can get some work done, you can read, you can make a phone call. I think right now there aren't those options available. At the same time, there's this huge amount of investment, there is political will, and I think it's kind of up to us to keep them on track.
Pun intended.
It was intended, yes.
Well, the final piece of this I want to ask you about is that we have two elections this year in Ontario. We have the provincial one in the spring, and most of the municipalities are voting for their new councils in the fall. How can we make this a priority? How can we make this an election issue on these two very important levels that, you know, are so key in helping shape the future of transit?
Well, I'm so glad you brought that up, because this is a moment to influence. So I would say raise it. Let your candidates know. When you have someone knock on your door, which inevitably you'll have at least one, if not five, say, what are your plans to do around transportation? What are your plans to do around housing? Whatever the issues that are most important to you. But I think transportation is something that should be on the minds of every decision maker that we elect in either the provincial or the municipal election, because they're going to be faced with the projects and the budgets as soon as they get into office. I think the worst thing we can see is for any new government to get in and not have it as a priority. As mentioned before, the fact that we're halfway through and we're only in this position because we stopped building for so many years, I think we just need to be, you know, they need to push forward with the best information of what our community's needs are. So I think it's bring it up. They knock on your door, they give you a call, say, thanks for your time. What are you going to do about our transportation system?
And once again, that was Chris Hughes of the City of Owen Sound and Michelle German from Evergreen, Canada. You can go to the Owen Sound Sun-Times at owensoundsuntimes.com in order to read more about the city's plan to run a daily bus to Guelph. And you can go to movethegtha.com to read the Are We There Yet report from 2016 that was sponsored in part by Evergreen. And you can learn more about Evergreen and Brickworks and all the work they do at evergreen.ca. And that is it for the Guelph Politicast this week. The music for the Guelph Politicast comes from KPM Classics and Sid Dale. The host for the Guelph Politicast is Podbean. Go to guelphpoliticast.podbean.com to listen to past episodes, and while you're there, you can also listen to Open Source's Guelph. If you missed last Thursday's episode on CFRU, you can download it via the Politicast channel on Podbean. You can get in touch with me by email at adamadonaldson@gmail.com. Reach me through Twitter at adamadonaldson. You can go to the Guelph Politico Facebook page at facebook.com/politicoguelph. And of course, you can donate to Guelph Politico on Patreon at patreon.com/guelphpolitico. If you like locally sourced independent media in the city of Guelph, please consider donating. And for all the latest local political news, check out guelphpolitico.blogspot.ca, where we'll have a new episode of the Guelph Politicast for you shortly. And until then, see you next time.